Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
In a moment, we're going to talk with Mark Mazzetti, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, all about the not-so-covert war in Yemen, the U.S. conducting airstrikes. It's not the first time, but it seems to have accelerated as a power vacuum has increased in Yemen. But let's begin this discussion by framing a series of statements that would appear to be difficult to reconcile. First, here's the president talking about how the U.S. has to tread softly as changes take place in the Middle East.
As historic change unfolds across the Middle East and North Africa, we agree that the pursuit of self-determination must be driven by the peoples of the region and not imposed from the outside.
Can't impose political change from the outside. Can't meddle in the internal affairs of countries in the Middle East. But then there's that whole terrorism business.
Mr. President, I've made it a priority to strengthen our partnership with the Yemeni government, training and equipping their security forces, sharing intelligence, and working with them to strike al-Qaeda terrorists.
Indeed, working deep inside but quietly in Yemen to try to deal with al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, believed to be the most active part of al-Qaeda at this point. And then there's Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talking very recently about the current situation in Yemen.
We think an immediate transition is in the best interests of the Yemeni people.
And indeed, the U.S. embassy in Sana'a is reportedly negotiating some sort of transition, meeting with prospective opposition leaders and members of the government to try to, if not orchestrate a transition, certainly taking a very visible role. Mark Mazzetti joins us, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. This seems to be a real 180 reversal of U.S. policy that once seemed to be very, very quietly tiptoeing through Yemen and now seems to be involved in almost anything or everything going on there, Mark.
Yeah, I think you laid it out very well. On one hand, you know, Washington realizes there's very little it can actually do amidst all of this swirl of protests, and especially in Yemen. However, there is this terrorism problem with this affiliate group that has tried to attack the United States, and the Obama administration feels as if it can do something to address the problem, and what they're doing is this campaign of airstrikes. It's sort of a double-edged sword. On one hand, they have to worry about, you know, accelerating, maybe recruiting for the terrorism groups by these airstrikes. At the same time, they feel like they can do so much with these that the Yemeni government cannot do.
Well, we saw how loath the Secretary of Defense, Bob Gates, was in getting involved in Libya. It seems to me there's no such hesitation. The Libyan initiative seemed to be something that Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, was advocating very, very strongly. Would you say that the stepping up of airstrikes and this diplomacy is also a Clinton-led initiative within the administration?
No, I actually think in Yemen, the person that has been at the front of this is the president's top counterterrorism advisor, John Brennan. He's a former CIA official, the former head of the CIA station in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and has very close ties to the Saudis and has spent a lot of time in Yemen. And he, very early on, I think, has been advocating a more aggressive posture for the U.S. in Yemen. And so he is, in many ways, has been sort of the architect of this. And what has been interesting watching over the last year is the dynamic between the U.S. and Yemen's government president, Saleh. And Saleh has allowed these strikes, but he's made them, he's narrowed the scope of them, and he's had this back and forth with John Brennan about exactly how far the U.S. can go. Well, now Saleh's in Saudi Arabia receiving medical treatment, and so I think the U.S. feels that it has a little bit more of a free hand to do what it wants, even amidst this sort of civil war going on there.
So it doesn't have to listen to Saleh because he's, you know, in intensive care or reportedly in pretty poor health there after an assassination attempt in Saudi Arabia. Is it possible that Brennan also doesn't trust either the Yemenis in this state of chaos to secure the South from al-Qaeda or the Saudis even, who have a big role in what goes on in Yemen?
I think not only Brennan, but others in Washington, you're right, don't trust the Yemeni forces and the Yemeni government to deal with the militant problem in the south. As we've seen in recent weeks, the Yemeni troops that had been in the south battling some of the militant groups and some of the other rebel groups got pulled back to the capital, Sana'a. And so the groups in the south that have ties to al-Qaeda have sort of consolidated their power, and American officials believe that they've actually have more operating space. And that's one of the reasons for this stepped-up campaign of strikes.
What do your sources say about the location of al-Awlaki, the American-educated cleric who appears to be the voice of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula?
Well, we saw last month that an American strike, we believe, came fairly close to killing al-Awlaki. So the intelligence appears to be getting better on not only al-Awlaki's whereabouts, but maybe some of the whereabouts of some of the al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula leaders. For a long time, the intelligence was very bad. And I think that there is more intelligence coming in, and maybe they have a little bit more of a beat on al-Awlaki's whereabouts. But one of the things that I wrote about today and what people cautioned about is that there's more intelligence coming in. But remember, we're in the middle of a civil war. And so some of the intelligence tips might be coming from rival factions, people looking to call in airstrikes on their enemies. It actually becomes even more freighted with risk when you have all of these different groups vying for power in the country.
So increased boldness in airstrikes, a sense that the U.S. doesn't need to listen to a president who's not even in the country. Is this a formula for southern Yemen becoming America's 51st state to engage in some hyperbole there, Mark Mazzetti?
Well, I mean, there is always the issue of how deeply to get involved. There's definitely a concern that the United States does not want to try to be nation building in Yemen, just as it is in Afghanistan. That might potentially be even harder than Afghanistan. So I think they really want to keep these strikes discreet, but that's always difficult.
And indeed, if you make a mistake in Yemen with those drone strikes, you could be angering the Saudis. It's very different than in Afghanistan, Pakistan. Mark Mazzetti, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Mark, thanks so much.
Sure. Thank you.